Well, welcome, folks, to the Lunchtime Talks, whether you're here in person on the barge or online. Great to have you with us. Today, we are doing a one-off, a Jubilee special, hot off the heels of the weekend that we've all enjoyed. So inside your service sheet, you'll see a little outline of where we're going. And just to say that we're going to do Q&A at the end on Slido. So I don't know if you use Slido at all, but if you just get your phone out, you don't need an app, you just stick in slido.com. And if you stick in the code 2020, it's on your sheet there in the box on the inside, you can just ask questions anonymously if you want to. And it's just a different way of doing questions rather than sticking up hands and so on. So do make the most of that. So if anything occurs to you as I'm speaking in the next few minutes, feel free to stick your question in there and we'll deal with those at the end. Well, it's been quite a weekend, hasn't it, as a country, as we've been celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. We think, well, what a milestone, and you know, what a remarkable woman. But for Christians, as we've given thanks to God for the Queen, inevitably, as a Christian, your mind moves towards Jesus as the King, because that is what the Bible reveals him to be. It says that he's the King, and that's what he himself claims to be, the King. And so what we're going to do in these few minutes together this lunchtime is we're going to do a compare and contrast, which may take you back to school days and so on. But compare and contrast Queen Elizabeth and King Jesus. I think, well, how do they compare? And, you know, who's the greater? And that's what we're going to explore. And we're going to do it by looking at just one verse in the Bible. So inside your service sheets, in the box there, top left, from Mark 10:45. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So as you see on the outline there, we're going to take it a phrase at a time. So in three little sections. And the first bit there is, for even the Son of Man. For even the Son of Man. How do Jesus and Elizabeth compare when we think of titles? We might say, well, the Queen has some pretty impressive titles. Don't know if you know her full title off by heart. Probably not. But Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. Bit of a mouthful, but we think, not bad, pretty impressive. She's also Duke of Lancaster, not quite got my mind around that one yet, Fount of Justice, and she is Seigneur of the Swans. Lord of the Swans. So back in medieval times, you may be aware that the crown declared that all unmarked swans in open waters belong to them. And the crown does an annual census of swans on the Thames called swan upping. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up, could you? Anyway, there it is. And you think, well, it's pretty hard to beat. Impressive titles of the Queen. How does King Jesus compare? Well, here in our verse in the box there inside your service sheets, he calls himself the Son of Man. You think, well, that doesn't sound very impressive, Son of Man, but there's more to it than you might think. So, back in the Old Testament, the first bit of the Bible, there was a prophet called Daniel who was given these visions by God, and in one of them he sees a Son of Man figure, and I put the passage in your sheets there, Daniel 7, just two verses, 13 to 14, let me read it. So this Son of Man figure appears. He says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven came, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." So, Jesus claiming to be the Son of Man is a big deal. He's claiming to be this person, this ruler that God would appoint over everyone and everything forever. Let's just take a closer look at that. We thought of the titles. Let's compare the coronations. Queen came to the throne. What date? You all know this now from the long weekend. What date did she come to the throne? 6th of February, 1952. We'll give you a point for that. Very good. Her coronation wasn't, of course, until 16 months later, on June 2nd, 1953. So after this appropriate period of mourning following the death of her father, King George VI. Where did it take place? Westminster Abbey, of course. The setting for every coronation since 1066. What was she crowned with? So the Archbishop of Canterbury placed on her head what? Not a crown, just what type of, what crown in particular? The St. Edward's crown, St. Edward's crown, made in 1661, solid gold, weighs 4 pounds, 12 ounces. Oh, all pretty impressive. What about Jesus? What about his coronation? Well, before he was executed, you may remember the soldiers rammed onto his head a very different type of crown, a crown of thorns. They made fun of him. But his true coronation would follow, wouldn't it? So raised to life, he then returned to heaven. And then God the Father himself crowned him as the Son of Man. Not in Westminster Abbey, but in heaven itself. And that's what this vision in Daniel 7 is describing, where it says he came to the Ancient of Days, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. So we looked at the titles, the coronation. How about their reigns? How do the reigns of Elizabeth and Jesus compare? Well, Queen, longest reigning monarch in British history, notched up her 70 years on February 6th this year. 7 years longer than the second longest reigning monarch, who was Queen Victoria. That's right, she reigned for 63 years. And a good deal longer than the shortest reign. Who was that? Lady Jane Grey, who ruled for 9 days, the 9 days Queen. So we say, well, the Queen's reign, impressive, really impressive. But the Son of Man, we read here, reigns forever. So the Daniel passage says his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And when you get to the last book in the Bible, Revelation 11:15 says, he shall reign forever and ever. So King Jesus wins on that one. And how far do their reigns extend? Well, the Queen is head of state of 15 countries in the Commonwealth, including the UK. She's also recognized as head of state in some other overseas territories. Very impressive. How about Jesus? Well, Daniel 7 says, to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. Okay, so his rule extends over everyone, the whole world. How about lastly there, when it comes to power, actual power, how do the Queen and King compare on that one? Well, the Queen doesn't actually have any real power, does she? Not really, just a ceremonial role. Whereas the Son of Man, we read in this Daniel passage, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom by God. He has real power. And that is a power which he demonstrated, didn't he, during his ministry here on earth, in his miracles. Power to heal the sick, power to raise the dead, power to calm the storm, power to forgive sins. Real power. Just before he returned to heaven, Jesus said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And at his trial, Jesus, speaking of his return, he said that one day you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So who do we think has won this first round of the contest? Queen would say, well, impressive titles, but Jesus, with his Son of Man title, didn't sound it was up to very much, did it? But actually the Son of Man is this God-appointed ruler over everyone and everything forever. And if we went on to make a full list of Jesus' titles, we'd be here a long time. So if you think of other titles he has in the Bible, he's the Son of God, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's the Christ, the Messiah, he's the Savior of the world, he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's the Word, he's the Son of David, he's the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, it just goes on, Emmanuel. And all of a sudden, being Senior of the Swans doesn't seem quite such a big deal after all. Okay, round two, compare and contrast. Queen Elizabeth, King Jesus, let's focus on their serving. And for this round, we'll start with the Son of Man, with Jesus. So our verse says there, Mark 10:45 in the box, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus is the Son of Man. He's this God-appointed ruler over everyone, over everything, forever. And yet he came, it says, to serve. Even the Son of Man, despite his status, he came to serve. Now that's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Because usually important people are served by other people. So important people, they have a staff, don't they, of people who serve them. They have servants. And Jesus, he had every right to that, didn't he, as the Son of Man. Red carpet, people waiting on him. Staff of willing servants look after his every need. had every right to that, but instead it says he came not to be served, but to serve. So another verse says in Philippians 2 that he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. So he served others, didn't he, by meeting their needs. He taught them. He loved them. He healed them. On one occasion, he washed the stinky feet of his disciples, doing what only the lowliest slave would do. And in the end, he served by giving his life for us, the ultimate act of service. It's astonishing, isn't it, that Jesus would do this, that he who was king would stoop so low to serve us. I mean, what a descent from heaven to earth, to be born as a baby, to grow up in a poor family, to live as a servant, to die on the cross. What a downward trip from the very highest place to the very lowest place. And he is an example to us, so he's an example of how we should behave if we follow him. We are to have the same attitude of serving. So in this verse, well, just before our verse in Mark 10, the verse before says this. Jesus says, "Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." So he's saying, I'm your example for how you should live, how you should behave. Now, that is an example that the Queen herself has followed, hasn't she? I mean, yes, she does have a big staff in the royal household, but she's also seen her position as one of service. And although at one level, yes, she's had a life of amazing privilege, it's also been a life of duty, a life of service. She hasn't just been free, has she, to go with her own personal preferences and have a normal private life. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted the life she's lived for anything. She's patron or president of over 600 charities and other organizations. When she was 21, so on her 21st birthday, in a speech that was broadcast on the radio from Cape Town, she said this. She was speaking to the Commonwealth countries, and then she was just Prince Elizabeth. She said, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service." And then in her first Christmas broadcast as Queen, 1952, she said, "At my coronation next June, I shall dedicate myself anew to your service. Pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life." Well, that prayer seems to have been answered, doesn't it? How does her serving as queen compare with that of King Jesus? Well, in her mind, there is no doubt at all, that Jesus is greater. In fact, she consciously follows his example. So in her Christmas broadcast in 2014, she said this, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model." Then in 2016, she said this. She said, "Billions of people now follow Jesus' teaching, and they find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them, because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love." In 2010, she said, "At the heart of our faith stand not a preoccupation with our own welfare and comfort, but the concepts of service and sacrifice, as shown in the life and teachings of the one who made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant." So as a servant queen, she follows the servant king, as revealed in the Bible. During her coronation service, she was given various things, most of them encrusted with jewels, including one of the most valuable diamonds in the world. So in 1905 in South Africa, the largest diamond ever found was discovered. And it was named what? The Cullinan Diamond. The Cullinan Diamond. I think we've got a picture on this. Yes, there's the cut. So it was so big they split it into 9 diamonds, which they numbered 1 to 9. Not very imaginative, but there we go. And the largest of them, Cullinan 1, ended up where? Where did they stick it? In the royal scepter. And that was given to the queen at the coronation. The largest colorless cut diamond in the world, 530 carats. But the first item presented to her at a coronation was given with these words. This is the most valuable thing that this world affords. What on earth was it, do you think? What was she given? What could possibly be more valuable than the Cullinan diamond? And the answer is, what was she given? A Bible. A Bible. Which would you rather have? Cullinan diamond or a Bible? This is the most precious thing this world affords. This book, the most valuable thing this world affords, here is wisdom, this is the royal law, these are the lively oracles of God. That means this is the living word of God. And the person at the center of this book, the Bible, is Jesus, the Son of Man. And the queen has followed him throughout her whole life and sought to serve following his example. Now, what she has done is what we are called to do as well. We're to follow Jesus. We're to trust in him and we're to follow his example. For it says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Okay, last round. Third round in our compare and contrast. It's about sacrifice. So the verse in the box there says, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The queen has been through some pretty challenging times, hasn't she? She once referred, you'll remember, to 1992 as, what did she call it? Her annus horribilis. Latin, it means horrible year. It just sounds better if you say it in Latin rather than saying, oh, horrible years. Say it in Latin. You should try it. So if you had a bad day at the office, someone says, how are things going? Say it. It's been a dies horribilis. She went on to say, 1992, I love this. She says, 1992 is not a year on which I shall look back with undiluted pleasure. It's a British way of saying it's a total nightmare. It's the worst year of my life. It was a year in which three royal marriages collapsed. Fire destroyed more than 100 rooms in Windsor Castle. Scandal with the Duchess of York hit the headlines. 1992 is not a year on which I shall look back with undiluted pleasure. And now, of course, bereaved of her husband of 73 years. She's had a pretty rough time in some respects, hasn't she? But easy ride compared to King Jesus. The ultimate way Jesus served us was that he gave his life for us as a ransom for many, as it says here. And that involved unimaginable suffering. So although he was this ruler, this Son of Man figure, he allowed himself to be rejected and to be spat upon and to be mocked, to be publicly flogged, and then to be nailed naked to a cross to die in shame. Can you imagine the queen being treated that way? I mean, it's unimaginable, isn't it? It's unthinkable. Dragged out onto the mall from Buckingham Palace, mocked by the jeering crowds, publicly whipped, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, left to die in agony. I mean, it's just unthinkable, isn't it? It seems inappropriate even to try and imagine it. But that's what Jesus went through willingly for us, for our sake. It says that he gave his life as a ransom for many. That means that his death was a payment, a ransom payment, to rescue us from the domain of darkness, from slavery to sin, from the judgment of God that we deserve. So in love, he died in our place. In love, he took on himself the judgment we deserve. And he did it so that we might be forgiven and be reconciled to God. So he died that we might live, is a simple way of thinking about it. He died that we might live. When they had the coronation, lots of foreign guests were invited from all over the world. And they had this big meal laid on after the service. And one of the dishes that was served has since been known as coronation chicken. So the food had to be prepared in advance. And so someone proposed, why don't we have a recipe of cold chicken in curry sauce? Now, when you eat coronation chicken, you enjoy a meal because a chicken is given its life. And so with Jesus. Jesus gave his life so that we might enjoy not just a meal, but rescue and eternal life with God. So Jesus is the chicken, if you want to think of it that way. Now as we close, how will we respond? How should we respond? Well, during her message to the Commonwealth in 2011, the Queen said this. She said, although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. Forgiveness, she says, lies at the heart of the Christian faith. Now, if that was a GCSE exam answer, and it's all going on at the moment, isn't it, poor things, what would you give her out of 9 for that? All right, I'd give her a 7, possibly an 8, maybe a 7. But it's not completely right what she says. She's absolutely right that we're sinful and we do need saving. But the point is, we don't just need saving from our sin, from our, as she put it, our recklessness and greed, but we actually need saving from the consequences of that, which is the judgment of God. But she's absolutely right that in Jesus, God has sent us the rescuer, the savior we need, so we might be forgiven. The Son of Man, our verse says, gave his life as a ransom for many. For many. You one of the many? Queen is. Certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? She's accepted her need for this forgiveness from God through Jesus. She's accepted she needs the death of Jesus as a ransom payment for her sins to set her free. Sounds like she's one of the many. How about you? If not, why not become one of the many by receiving Jesus yourself, receiving him as your rescuer, saying that he died for you, your sins, thanking God for that, and starting to live with him as your ruler, the ruler that he is, the Son of Man. And both of those are necessary, rescuer and ruler. During her 70 years on the throne, the Queen has ruled over 32 countries. 17 of them have now removed her from that position. And the latest to do so was Barbados. Yep. So November last year, Barbados became the world's newest republic. Removed the Queen as head of state after almost 400 years. In the ceremony, the royal standard flag was taken down, was replaced. Now, I mean, good on Barbados. I think many of us probably think it's high time countries took this step. But it's different with King Jesus. So Jesus is our rightful ruler. And if we reject his rule, if we take the flag down, we can't be part of his eternal kingdom. Not now, not after death. In a message to Barbados, the Queen said, I look forward to the continuation of the friendship between our two countries and peoples. It's not like that with King Jesus. We can't lower his flag, reject his rule, and expect we're just going to continue and stay friends. It doesn't work like that. With King Jesus, it's more like an act of treason. He is the rightful ruler over us. He invites us to receive him as our king, to enjoy the blessing of living with him as our rescuer and ruler. And so off the back of this Jubilee weekend, we give thanks to God for Queen Elizabeth and many years of service of us. But we also, and we especially give thanks for King Jesus, the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's just pause for a moment to reflect on that, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Then after that, we're going to have time for Q&A on Slido. I'll just explain again how that works. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy in sending Jesus to us, the Son of Man. Thank you that he came not to be served, but to serve, and for his ultimate act of service in laying down his life for us. And we pray that we'd be those who, like the Queen, accept him as our rescuer and as our ruler. And we pray this in his name. Amen.